What's up, everybody? This is Colin with...
Hey, guys, it's Elliot.
And this is episode number 86. We call this the good, the bad, and ugly of early season racing here for Elliot and I here.
Yeah, and I've been... Well, both Becca and I were sick, like, the past week, so we're finally feeling better, and we got another race coming up this upcoming weekend, so...
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, let's dive into the positive here. So you guys raced, I guess, a couple weeks ago now, huh?
Yeah, it's been a while. Seems like a while ago.
Yeah. So yeah, tell us more here.
Yeah, Victoria 70.3. So it was our third time there. So we were a little hesitant on signing up again because we're like, I don't know. I just feel like three times is plenty when... It's just kind of a pain in the butt to get to, and there's a lot of waiting around. You got to take a ferry. You got to be shuttled to the start. So it's a lot of just waiting around. So, I mean, that's like the one drawback, but I mean, it's a beautiful course as long as the weather's nice. And yeah, we got like a very sunny weekend. So it's a really
good vacation spot though, right?
Yeah. I mean, once you're there, it's like, wow, this place is amazing. And
how long is it? What's the drive again to get there for you?
A couple hours. So we drive to Western or the west coast of Washington, the Port Angeles, and then take a ferry over, which is couple hour drive there, and then an hour ferry.
But you take your car over.
You got to show up early, for customs and everything. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's right, with the customs. Yep. Cool. You guys got your passports. I know that was a little bit of a potential problem.
Got it a week before.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. I'm set to travel in a week here and I don't have mine back here. So
ooh.
But cool. All right. So yeah. That was a Sunday race, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And when you guys get there?
We got there on Thursday.
Okay, so you got there, settled in a little bit before. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, weather was really nice. Couple of teammates racing. I knew one guy that he won his age group in Kona. So I'm like, man, that kind of sucks because he's in my age group. But
yeah.
Didn't really think about it too much. But I'm like, I'd like to win my age group one of these days. But... Might be a tough ask today.
That is a very tough ask. Yeah, no doubt. Cool. First try as a member of the EMJ team, right?
Yeah. And actually was really nervous because a couple weeks before that, we did a duathlon. And I don't know what happened to my bike. But yeah, bike mechanicals. Becca passed me on the bike again, beat me. So... wasn't very confident going into Victoria just because that happened, but yeah, I mean, turned out to be a great day. And yeah, I think being nervous actually helps me for races because I don't know, just feel like I focus a little better and try harder.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's it depends on the level of nervousness. I do think some nerves is a good thing. I agree, you know, it definitely can help to get into game mode, keep you focused, and, you know, motivate you to do well. It's when we get a little too nervous, start, you know, stressing out too much and missing sleep and all that fun stuff where it can be negative. But I think that's good.
I mean, I don't think I've been to that point in a really long time. But,
yeah,
it's just hard to get psyched up for local races sometimes where, I mean – you do like focus your training on it. I'm like, I should be excited to race this. So why am I not like going into it with that kind of mentality? So
yeah,
something I got to work on in local racing because I just, I don't like getting beat and my goal is to like win those. So
sure. Understandable. Yeah. Well, looks like it worked out as good motivation after a challenging performance there locally.
Yeah.
Rather have that, right? Have a crap race at the local one than at the Ironman.
Yeah. And that's kind of why, I mean, we both tell everyone, one of our clients, like leading up to your main races, like doing these local races and like the lower key races where they're not as like daunting of a task, it's a good idea to do those just so you could practice those types of things and getting your race set up, practice transitions, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Remind me to talk about something with that in my race here.
Well, I know your race had super long transitions.
It did, but cool. So, but and then how'd it go with both of you racing? I know sometimes it can be challenging with
Yeah,
both of
good.
you
And
racing the same
yeah,
weekend.
so both of us race and my uncle was with us as well. So we all stayed in an Airbnb together. So that was fun. And
And he raced too?
yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool.
But yeah, it's a little more doable 70.3 distance just because we have both have quite a bit of experience with that now. But yeah, we'll see about Ironman Canada later this year.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Nice. All right. So let's dive in. Literally here. How was the kind of pre-race morning of and then the swim here?
Early start, 6 o'clock. Seems like most of the Ironman races start around that time now, as long as the sun's up. But
Right. Yeah, definitely a trend. Earlier starts here, which I like, but some people it's challenging for sure.
and yeah, I mean, it was a pretty early morning wake up, but I mean, we were pretty close to the lake. I mean, we were about 1/2 mile away from like where the start was, but you have to take a shuttle. So seems like it took about 45 minutes to travel 1/2 mile to
Do
get
you
to the
actually
lake.
have to take the shuttle, or is that just
I
you have?
mean, I guess we could have had someone drop us off, but I mean, it seemed like it
So
was
you couldn't
highly.
like walk it if you wanted to, huh?
Yeah, I guess we could have, but it's like along a
Okay.
highway and it would have
Yeah.
been.
Okay. Yeah.
It's
Because yeah, not to
uphill.
jump into mine, but you had to walk it. They didn't have a shuttle.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah. But you get on the shuttle. But plenty of time and everything like that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it was just the first race of the year. I just felt like really rushed, and I like just was talking to people and just did not feel like I was like taking my time. And like after a while, I'm like, wow, I only have like 30 more minutes and I still don't have my transition set up. So yeah, felt
Okay.
really
Yeah.
rushed. And I think the next time I'm just gonna show up as soon as transition opens, so I'm not feeling that way because
Yeah.
it was a little hectic getting the wetsuit on, getting a practice swim in, and all that
So
stuff. And
that was actually gonna be my question. So you were able to get a practice one?
yeah,
That's nice.
I mean, just about 5 minutes, but luckily the water temps weren't that bad. And yeah, very comfortable temperatures, both outside air and water, like just never felt cold
Yeah.
or hot. So
Salt water, obviously, right?
it was a lake, so fresh
Oh, it is a
water.
lake swim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I guess I thought assumed it was or ocean. Okay. Cool. Nice quality water.
Very nice. I mean, I think my best 70.3 times have been on this course. So, yeah, always
Yeah.
been around like 28 minutes on this course.
Right. So, what'd you swim?
Let's see, 28 low, I think. On my Garmin, it said like 28:02. I think on tracker, it's like 28. 20 or something. Hold on, I'm pulling
28
it up.
20.
Yeah. So I just edged you out. I was tracking you yesterday.
That's what I was going to get to here. Okay. All
But
right. We won't talk about it then if you beat me.
you had a downriver swim.
I did. But it was also, I think, a good couple hundred yards long. So, but no, I mean, that looked like great when you guys came out or you came out, low 28. That's non-current swim to pull that off. I don't think you can ask for much more than that.
Yeah, and I think the key is just starting in the front. I mean, I think we're at the abilities, and I even tell Becca this, like if you want to race pro, I'm not going to race pro, but she's considering it. I'm like, might as well get used to it because that's kind of what pro racing is, and you got to just try to hold on. So,
Totally. So, were you able to? Did you do some pack swimming?
yeah, I was like 3 rows back from the front, and yeah, immediately. I mean, I always like swimming with the women, just because I feel like they're a little more courteous and polite and don't get pissed at you when you're accidentally bumping into them. So found a good pack to swim with. And yeah, I mean, I swam with the same person the entire time. And it was funny because got out of the water and like both Adam and Tommy were like, got out right at the same time. So it was pretty funny seeing
and
that.
Were they with you guys too or no?
Well, I didn't even notice it, but in the race pictures, like Adam was like right behind me, like out of the water. Okay. So it's pretty funny. And then
common
like,
theme of those pictures there moving on. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Okay. That's cool. And then yeah, things went well on the bike there, right?
Yeah. And got on the bike with Tommy and he just immediately took off. It would be amazing if I could ride like that, but he was just gone like in an instant. I saw him for about 1 minute.
Yeah. That's about right. Yeah. Tommy definitely knows how to ride. That's for sure.
And yeah, I mean, I was mostly just, I mean, I was probably most worried about the bike just because I just didn't really know what to expect, but I went into a game plan going into it. Like I want to ride as hard as I possibly can and try to stick with people and not get discouraged when people are passing me. But yeah, I mean, really not a lot of people passed me and I pretty much rode with like Adam from our team most of the ride.
Yeah. So, were you guys like, was there other guys riding you guys too, or was it really just you?
A little bit, but yeah, really thinned out. And yeah, I mean, there was probably, I mean, I counted like towards the end of the bike, there was like an out and back, and Tommy was in front, obviously, by I don't know, like 15 minutes or so.
Oh, wow, really? Yeah.
But I mean, I did see him on the out and back. And so when we were climbing, he was descending and just kind of counting the people. And I mean, I only counted like 12 people ahead of me.
Nice.
But yeah, okay. Due to the staggered starts, I mean, on the tracker, it was like 24th overall. But okay. Yeah, I mean, really just kind of held the legal distance between Adam most of the race. I mean, I thanked him so many times because he could tell like he had a solid bike and was riding strong and was pretty consistent throughout the whole thing. So
were you taking some pulls too, or was this another Boston back here
early on? And then like, yeah, I mean, he really pushed me. I mean, I was just kind of fighting, and there were times when he pulled like quarter mile ahead of me, and then like, I don't know, I found myself like catching him on the uphills a little bit. So every time there was an uphill, I kind of re-caught him. And but yeah, definitely was motivating riding with someone. I mean, I don't think I would have rode that if I was just by myself the entire day.
And was your power where you wanted to be?
Yep. I think 217, which is like 84% of FTP. So right where I wanted to be. Definitely want to get stronger on the bike, though. I mean, my power isn't very, I mean, I look at yours and I'm like, man, if I could just be like a little closer, I'd be a very strong cyclist.
Yeah, and I could just weigh a little bit closer to you, then I'd be happy to. Yeah. Yeah, cool. No, it was,
but yeah, I mean, I kept the bikes, I mean, pretty consistent and definitely rode the first part a little harder, but yeah, I mean, I was very happy because I mean, I usually last year, I mean, I don't know, I just did not feel it on the bike, and I just mentally when people are passing you on the bike, it just doesn't feel good. So in Victoria, that didn't happen as much, and I kind of held my own on the bike, and I was what, 24th overall on the bike, so still want to make that improvement, but it's heading in the right direction. Yeah,
nice, man, that's great, especially early season race, that's cool.
Yeah,
nice. And what was the weather like?
It was perfect, not a lot of wind, and got on the bike and it was probably like high 50s, 60s. So it was pretty ideal. It was a pretty ideal racing day, to be honest.
Well, that's good. Cool. And then it got tight. Tell us about the run here.
Yeah. So got up, got off the bike, and Adam was just in front. And it's funny. There was a volunteer right at the mount line, and he decided to hand his bike off to the volunteer. And then there's another volunteer. I'm like, why don't I get this? And the volunteer made him come back. And he's like, I'm not supposed to do this. I was just telling you to stop. So he had to run back and get his bike. So we got out of T2 together, but we were talking a little bit when we started the run. I'm like, what happened over there?
Oh, that's funny. It's not the elegant Ironman service we're used to here.
It would be nice though.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, we all had like AWA racks, so it was like right when we got into transition, our racks were there. So it's nice. I mean, that's probably the main benefit of being AWA.
For sure. Yeah, I'll talk about that in my race too here. Cool. So what happened on the run here?
So a mile in, I was feeling good, but man, I peed a little bit in like when I was in T2, just changing my shoes, but I don't know. I must have like drank a lot on the bike because I just really had to pee. So I ended up just going into a porta potty really quick and peeing really quick. And so I kind of pulled in front of Adam. And then when I went to take that pee break, he went up ahead. So kind of had to re-catch him, and he was running pretty solid, but yeah, I was feeling pretty good. And I really want to try to, I'm kind of like you. I really want to run a 120 one of these days, sub 120.
Right.
So
yeah,
that was kind
Where'd
of the
you end
goal.
Up at again?
123 low.
23. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And but yeah, I mean, it's
throughout?
Not a very fast run course. It's mostly on
That's
trail
right.
And
yeah,
it's kind of punchy and kind of hard to get into a good rhythm on some parts, just because it's kind of like up and down. I mean, not really trail running. It's packed dirt. So
yeah, but it's still slower for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, no one passed me, and kind of felt like I was actually racing and like not falling apart for once. So yeah, I mean,
you picked up a few spots, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I honestly think that doing a marathon really helps me with my run in triathlon later in the year, because I just feel confident on the run. I feel like if someone came up to me, I could kind of just stick with them. I mean, I just kind of have that confidence now where I could just run with anyone, hopefully. I mean, there was one guy that started way back and ran a 112. Don't think I could hang with that, but yeah, I mean, I was kind of right in the mix on the run as far as
yeah,
like overall
that's really
placement.
Tough to match.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. And yeah, you caught a couple guys, including I know a name, Dylan Gleason, right? He never podiumed in Kona, but always super strong. I mean, he destroyed us the year that both of us that we did Ironman Canada, right? And super strong on the bike and, you know, solid athlete, but you ended up catching him. And that was impressive for me for sure.
Yeah. And it was a straight up pass too. Like, it wasn't like a staggered start thing. Like, I caught him like mile 12 or so. And I knew that was him because he always wears that that same kit that he always wears.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty motivating when that happened. So knew I was running pretty strong and actually negative split that run because I took that pee break. But yeah, split by about 30 seconds. So
nice.
That was encouraging. And yeah, and that kit was like incredibly hard to zip up, so I couldn't zip it up, so I was holding it shut on my finishing pictures, but that was pretty funny.
That's funny. That's right. Okay, that's why that was happening. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's why I don't look very good. My mom's like,
well,
what happened to you?
With
Looks
the,
like you had a stomach ache.
With the way the EMJ kit is set up, where it's that, you know, it's one piece, but it does open up, I think you're actually okay to have that open.
Oh.
Because your stomach is technically covered a bit.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but I think you would have been right.
Yeah, that time when Becca got almost DQ'd for having her jersey unzipped kind of got me scared. So
yeah.
I'm like, well, I didn't win overall, but I mean, I just don't want to get disqualified.
You don't want your issues.
Anything.
Not worth that. Yeah.
Because actually, yeah. So, like, if you looked at Becca's results, I mean, it looked like her results were pretty convincing, or her win was pretty convincing. But there was a girl that beat her off the bike and by 5 or 6 minutes. And
it was somewhere in there. I was tracking pretty closely and was tracking both men's and females because of that. And, you know, it was like, wow, is this Becca going to get beat here? You know, and
That second place, or that girl in the lead, had her husband ran with her, and he was a participant, and he DNF'd on the bike and got on the run course and was running with her, and I believe he crossed the finish line with her, and then she got disqualified because of it. So
wow. Okay, yeah. So that was the full story. That's weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
And apparently they talk about it on the That Triathlon Life podcast.
Oh, really?
Too. Yeah.
Huh.
But
do they agree with it, or?
I mean, it is a rule. I mean, I knew that was a rule. Like, you can't have like Calvin run across the finish line with you.
Right. Well, sure. Yeah. But like, did he literally, do you think, run like the whole half with her?
Oh, I think so.
Wow. That's weird.
Because Becca told me that when she passed her, her husband or boyfriend was running with her and was giving. Yeah. He was like, "That's Becca. You got to stick with her."
Okay,
they totally knew what was going on, and
sure,
she definitely got help. But
if he DNF'd, he had time to look at the tracker and figure out what's going on. Why didn't you do that, Elliot?
I was smart. Remember that year in Canada when I got my shoes were like nowhere to be found in T2, so I just waited up for her and I ran the entire marathon with her.
I do remember that. Yeah.
That was legal because I didn't drop out.
Right. Sure. Yeah, record transition times, but that is legit, right? Yeah. Very cool. So you ended up third in the age group, right?
Yep. And yeah, I mean, definitely a good sign because, I mean, I guess that's probably one of the perk of racing the same course multiple times is you can kind of benchmark yourself on where you were at in previous years. And this was like 10 minutes faster than both previous years I raced it. So
that is awesome. I didn't realize it's that much. Good for you, man. That's great.
So my bike was 7 minutes faster and my run was 3 minutes faster. So it was very motivating and it was a good sign. I mean,
and Becca took the W for the third year in a row?
Second year in a row.
Second in a row. So
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Third overall win.
Was that fifth?
Third overall win.
Third overall.
In her lifetime.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, she crushed it for sure as well. So good for you guys. Good, good day for the Cowo crew for sure.
Only 8 minutes behind me.
All right. Yeah, I guess most importantly, you held her off, huh?
Not going to lie. That's pretty motivating for me on the bike, too. I'm like, wow, if I slip up and I crack, she's going to be coming up on me pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, this time your aero bars stayed together, right?
Yeah.
that helps too.
I tightened those things down so hard before that race.
Because that's where that happened, right?
Yeah. And the roads are pretty bumpy over there. So, But no bike mechanicals this time. And everything went pretty much as planned the entire day. I mean, I feel like I executed really well and excited to race more this year.
Right on. That's good, man. And what's up next?
We have a local race in Bend, Oregon called Beastman 70.3.
Nice. Okay, cool.
So, yeah, something new and something we've never done before. And, yeah, I haven't been to Bend since I was a little kid, so looking forward to it.
Yeah, nice. So when is that?
That's on Sunday.
Oh, so this week. So it's depending if we get this out in time. Yeah, gotcha. Cool. All right. Cool.
So, yeah, let's hear more about your race that happened yesterday.
Shall we move on to the bad and the ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem in pretty good spirits today.
Yeah, it is what it is, you know. I guess, you know, for those not aware, I mean, I have a labral tear on my left hip that's been, you know, diagnosed since 2010. So hip issues are not something that are uncommon for me. But this year, I will say, has been a bit different. I've actually, fitness-wise, feeling really strong. Was really excited to race and feeling good. But at the same time, I had done a couple training sessions where I rode hard on the tri bike. And then I was, not that I was necessarily trying to hide it on Strava or anything like that, but I was supposed to run longer off the bike. And just my hip really, I don't even really know how to describe it, just really kind of like tightens up. And it's just everything in my body, or, you know, my mind is saying like, stop, stop, stop. And so in training, certainly I did that, right? No point to push through it during that. And so, you know, that has happened a couple times in the last 5 or 6 weeks, I guess. So wasn't surprised that happened here. I guess we're jumping in a little too ahead here, getting right into the run. But yeah, went into the race, you know, having that on my mind, and it wasn't certainly fully confident that that things were going to work out. So, but the race itself, you know, so Western Massachusetts, 70.3, a little less than 2 hours from my house. So that worked out pretty well. Just went down the day before. My mom ended up coming with me, which was nice. And my daughter had a dance recital the day before at noon, and registration or check-in was till 4. So I think I got there at like 3:30, and jumped in, got the bike checked in, and then went right to a team dinner we had. So definitely a busy day leading up to it, but had its hotel relatively close, and yeah, had to get up early. It was also a 6 a.m. start, so even for me, it was early. Did wake up before the alarm, but I think I was up around 2:40 and starting to, well, all right. If I didn't have a race, I would have went back to bed. But at that point, yeah, get up and get ready. So
you eat 3 hours before the race?
Depending on the distance. But yeah, usually for about 3 hours before. Okay. Yeah. So got there early. Transition actually didn't open till 4:30. And usually they'll open it up a bit early, and they didn't. And so right at 4:30 got in. But yeah, I kind of was, you know, chit-chatting with people and working, kind of not rushing at all, but really got in, did the transition thing, went to the bathroom. But yeah, there was no option. You had to walk, you know, from transition up the river for this downriver swim. I ended up doing it barefoot. There was some, even the pavement was, there was some kind of, I mean, pavement on feet and bare feet isn't great, I guess, but there was a few parts that were kind of rough. And it's like, yeah, I probably should have brought some shoes here for this. But I think I showed up to the swim start at like maybe 5:55. They were like doing the national anthem as I was going down.
So you're cutting it pretty close.
Very close. Yeah. Like there was a couple other guys, actually, a guy, Ryan, we're going to talk to, the guy actually that we met at the Boston Marathon.
Oh, yeah. Ryan? Yeah.
Yeah, he came to dinner with us. It was cool. And
I saw that.
We're going to have him on soon.
Nice.
Yeah, we were kind of, and one other guy he was with actually that was local, and he started to freak out. He's like, we got to go. And so definitely.
Yeah, that mile walk always takes way longer than you think it will.
Yeah. But it was nice. I mean, it was an absolutely gorgeous day yesterday. You know, temps were low 50s or something like that, you know, had, or actually just carried the wetsuit the whole time, but felt good. And then, you know, it was a downriver swim. I think I got in, I was probably like the 9th or 10th row. People had already kind of got into the lanes for the swim start, which, like, there was a couple, no offense, but like, I don't know, late 60s, it looked like, guys like in front of me, and I like almost wanted to like, hey, can I go in front of you? And I didn't, but, yeah, it was, it, and the water was super shallow, pretty much the whole swim. Actually, I was very surprised by that, but like, ran out, you know, for me, like, bringing the feet up and like dove in and like was expecting to be able to swim, and then like had to dolphin dive. And, even then it was still like super shallow and you could see the bottom most of the time. And I just, it's a big river. I was just really surprised.
Most of the swim, you could see the bottom
for the most part. I mean, it's nasty water, you know, and like, even like, I'm, at the checkout, we were talking to, I think it was a fireman, and he's like, I can't believe you guys swam in that. You know, so it's
kind of like Tempe Town Lake as far as water.
That's exactly what's going to mind. It's just like Tempe Town Lake. You know, nobody swims in that thing unless it's a race. You know? But yeah, swam 28 and change, like you said. I guess a little slower than you. I'll take that. I mean, even my Garmin usually actually doesn't measure quite as long as a lot of people's, and I think I still had like 23 and change or something, 2300 yards. So I do think it was a bit long, but with the current, you know, it was good. And you know, I was happy. I got on some feet a bit. I kind of had a few different people, you know. It was interesting, kind of, especially with the current. You know, you got to kind of figure out whether you're better off sometimes going out a little bit wider, so you're in the current more. But like, I was kind of around people, and had a few different sets of feet. I definitely had a few people following me, but never really found that person that I could just latch on and just go. But yeah, it was a solid swim.
Was the current pretty noticeable? Like when you went past buoys, were you like, wow, I'm flying through the water right now?
I honestly didn't even really feel like that, but it definitely was. I mean, according to Garmin, if the pace was
113 pace.
113s, right? Yeah. So there's no way. I mean, that's my like close to all out effort there. So yeah. There's no way that was accurate there. I mean, or, you know, wasn't current assisted. So
yeah, I remember the one race I did that was downriver was Oregon, and yeah, I mean, swam at 22 there, but I felt like borderline, like I was gonna have an anxiety attack because I'm like, this isn't even really swimming, it's just like just going down like a very strong river.
I've done, you know, like the Ironman New York City in the Hudson was like that one, you could feel, you know, it was crazy fast, and this one was fast, you know, again, for sure, but I don't think it was quite as strong as some of the other ones. Okay. But yeah, then you get out of the water and you've got to like run up these like stairs. And then you have, I don't think it was a full mile. Like, actually, if you look at my transitions on Strava, it technically says it was a mile from the swim to the start, but I did switch out of transition mode a little bit late on my watch. So I think it was at least 0.75 miles though.
It's so long
in between, which is really long. So yeah, you have to like come out, you go all the way down to the far side of transition, come back in, you know, grab your bike, and then you have to go, it's close to a half mile, that you're running with your bike. And you got to like kind of come up this hill, then you turn around, and then you get to jump on your bike. So, it was long, and, I will chuckle. I threw the water bottle down the chest. And so I did do that the day before the race in my ride, and it went perfectly, felt good. I was like, all right, this will be cool. And so I start running, I put it down my shirt, and then I started running, and the bottle just fell right down through, you know, through my, through my kit. And so I picked it up and I ran with it, all the way up to, you know, to the mount line. And then I tried to like, I think I threw it in there, And then like my shirt unzipped and like I managed to like keep it in. But then I don't know, I ended up like with it back in my hand. And I don't know why I didn't think about it then. I kept like trying to drop it down the front of my shirt, the top of my shirt. And the zipper like came undone. And I don't know why I didn't think really it would have been easy. If I just went up underneath my shirt and then dropped it in, I think it would have been fine. But finally I had to like go like no hands, which I didn't really want to do at that point in the race with like other people around. And it was definitely not my smoothest transition one, I'll put it that way.
All because of that damn bottle.
Because of the bottle. So whether I gained the time from that or not, I don't know. You know, the bike was a bit frustrating. I had there was a pack of probably at the beginning like 8 to 10 guys that were all kind of together, and it was actually good. There was two marshals like that came through at the beginning, and you know, regulating, I don't know if they should have penalized at least one guy for sure at the beginning there. I'm not sure if they ended up penalizing anybody at the beginning, but that was kind of the start. But then, you know, the course was definitely a very rolly, you know, I think it was about 2,500 feet of climbing on it. So it was a good New England course I liked, but there was definitely some really dicey, very poor quality road sections. Like I remember people complaining about Muscle Man, another one in New York around here. And like, it's 1,000 times, Muscle Man is 1,000 times better than this race for the quality of the roads. You know, I pushed pretty hard. My kind of goal was to have my normalized power at like 300 for the race, you know, similar to like Timberman last year. And, felt like I could do that. I don't want to say easily, but, very doable, based on training. And
what's your FTP?
We'll call it 350 here.
Okay.
I think we're right in around there. But yeah, this group kind of, came out, and I won't mention any names, but actually, so one guy came up to me and, he says, "Oh, I'm coached by Kurt." And, he said, if I to try and ride with you as long as I can. And, so, all right, cool, man. And, you know, there was, I won't say, you know, like there was this one guy that would get out in front of me for like 30 seconds, maybe a minute, then I would have to pass him. But there was a block of 5 to 6 guys that were just, it was just draft fest for a
just
lot.
Just right on your ass the entire time.
And like, yeah, but even, you know, which, yeah, it's just, it was a bit frustrating. And normally actually in those situations, I yell at people when I start, you know, saying things. I guess I was kind of up at the front more, and you know, on the hills there would be guys like, even they would just come up to beside me and then like not pass me and then kind of come, and then like there was one guy that was riding stronger up the hills, so he would get up a little bit but then would get past, but like there just wasn't any group, you know, strategy or kind of people playing the way we should be playing during that. So it was frustrating. You know,
I mean, did you ever look back, and were they like legal distance, or were they like right
back
on?
And you know, I think, I don't know, I like to think people were trying to do their best, but I think people could have done a better job there, for sure. And then, you know, the more frustrating thing to me, I guess, is that I saw those two marshals within the first maybe 5-10 miles, and then I never saw one again. So
do you feel like age group, if there's no pro race involved, that the courses are marshaled the same or less?
I think less for sure, but you know, they obviously have a lot more to do, and they're going to stick with the pros a bit more. And there should be, you know, you would think, you could argue that there should be more regulation in a non-pro race, you know, since they're there. But you know, we won't get into the whole Hamburg situation. I guess, you know, fortunately, we didn't have any motos go head on with any cyclists, so that's a positive. But yeah, overall it was kind of you know, it was definitely a legit bike course. What I ended up at 223 and change, which I was content with. Shout out to Scott Bradley, who ended up winning my age group. He raced age group last year, but was racing pro the years before that, but he biked 210 Which was very impressive. And like, actually, I guess that Eagle Man, there was pros last year and he had the fastest bike split, including the pros. So he's obviously very strong rider. And I actually didn't realize it was him until looking to that, the results after, but, kudos to him for, taking the win and, you know, riding that strong. So, I guess I came off the bike, in fourth. And the legs kind of felt all right. And I wouldn't say outstanding, but, you know, kind of knowing what was going on with my hip, I tried to kind of take it out a little bit conservative. Yeah, it was even within like the first mile, it just didn't feel right. So I kept going and got to just about mile two, maybe two and a half. And it kind of crept in. And so I did try to stop to like stretch it. And that did help for like a couple minutes. And, but then it would just kind of come back. And I still wasn't really running like hard. And, you know, like towards the end, so I ended up running just over, I think actually almost exactly a 10K. But I was like walking through the aid stations, trying to like stretch it out. And most of the time, like, it was just frustrating. I was running, you know, still like 645, 650s, but like my heart rate was in like low zone two. Like I just wasn't.
Yeah, I could wasn't tell. Pushing. I could tell when I was tracking you. I'm like, it's not like a horrible speed, but I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's wrong.
That's kind of the debate that was going through my mind is like, should I push? And like honestly, could I have finished that race yesterday? I could have. Like today, my hip is definitely extra sore. So I do think I made the right move by pulling the plug. So sorry. Yeah, I pulled the plug at the 10K mark. You kind of came through and it was a two lap and then like a little add on. So I got back to transition and just gave in my chip and called it a day. You know, like I said, it had happened in training, so it really wasn't a surprise to me. You know, the weird thing for me is just that I can go like even actually. So if we go back to the first time it happened, I rode like hard on a Saturday, did that run off the bike, and like it didn't, you know, it kind of happened for the first time, I'll say. And so I just didn't run as long that day, but then got out the next day and I wouldn't say it felt 100%, but I still ran 14, 15 miles the next day at reasonable pace. And like, it wasn't like, it didn't feel absolutely horrendous. And then, you know, the same thing, I've been able to even run some speed work, you know, I've been doing, repeats in the low fives and stuff like that. Even like the day after, some relatively hard, not as hard of as, or as long as, you know, half Ironman effort, but, definitely with some intensity. So I just don't really quite understand exactly what's changing. I mean, or really it just comes down to like the longer high intensity, seems to be causing it to only really affect the run off the bike. Like even in the race yesterday, I'm sure I was getting tired at the end of the bike, but it wasn't the hip. It was just general fatigue. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm definitely going to be toast on the run or anything like that. So frustrating, disappointing. And
I mean, do you think it could, I mean, riding an aero high intensity?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, for those not aware, yeah, like I can't ride in the aero position on the trainer. You know, if I spend literally 30 seconds in the aero position on the trainer, my hip will be flared up for the next couple of days. So, you know, usually when I get out for my first few rides outdoors on the tri bike, I will have some issues and, it kind of works its way through, but, you know, that hasn't been the case. And what's also interesting, like I did do the Lake Placid training camp and, you know, I rode for over 5 hours one day, all relatively low intensity, and you know, got off the bike and felt great, you know, ran easily and no issues. Rode again for almost 3 hours I think the day after and felt fine off the bike. So it's very strange. And even with my PT, and you know, and I did have a massage with my gal that usually can work miracles for me on Friday. So that was actually also giving me hope that maybe things would be all right. Cause everything is super tight in there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's frustrating. And, also I guess, and I was thinking about this on the run, I am, set to go to the Netherlands, to Amsterdam, a week from Wednesday to race, you know, 2 weeks from yesterday, for another 70.3. And it's like, shit, I really don't want to go that far and DNF, you know, or whatever. So, yeah. Very expensive plane tickets, like $2,000 for my plane ticket over there. Non-refundable, you know, like, so I'm in a spot right now.
And you're going to be riding a new bike.
And I'll be riding a new bike, but you know, that does have me thinking that, maybe it's wishful, but maybe it's time for a refit here. And
that's what I was thinking. It might be a blessing in disguise. I mean,
yep, right.
Letting them know your issue and getting fit.
Right.
So maybe that'll help.
I hope so. You know, so we'll see what happens with that. But tough day for sure. Or frustrating. Never like to DNF. But again, with how my FIP feels today, I do pretty sure. I mean, I guess I think looking at the results, maybe even could have held on for fifth. With the way Scott biked, there's no way I would have won. I think I realistically, the guy that got second, he ran a 120. I probably would end up third anyways. And not that it's all about that, you know, it's really, and I'm kind of going, it's like, oh, you know, I know people listening and everybody runs their own paces and it's like, oh, poor Colin, you're only running 6:45s, you know, or something like that.
How well you could run. So I knew something was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
let's say you were winning off the bike and you were running that pace and you were hurting, would you have pushed on?
I would have contemplated for longer, I think probably. Yeah. But I don't know, you know, again, and I guess I have stints. I've done half Ironmans 2 weeks apart before, but knowing that was looming here too, I really, you know, I want to go finish that race, you know, and I don't know if that's going to be realistic here. I've already talked to a strength coach about some different exercises and things I'm going to try and work into my daily routine to try to help with that. But, you know, it's a dicey situation here for sure.
Have you ever gotten an MRI on this? Or, I mean,
I have, yeah. But I mean, I don't think I've gotten one since around 2010. And actually, Sean, my physical therapist, he thinks, you know, there's got to be, it makes sense, a lot of scar tissue in that area and that can move around. He thinks maybe it's just kind of settled in a bad spot or, you know, and that's where I've actually been more proactive or kind of good about doing my PT or my morning routine and like stretching out and stuff like than I ever been. So, I think it was a couple of years ago now, like just doing like body squats throughout the day, like my hip is in general, never really hasn't felt better. It's been like, this is different. It's, you know, concerning in that way, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's not really surprising. So, who knows? I mean, it's like doomsday, worst case scenario. This could be a totally washed season here. I mean, I'm going to try and get an MRI as soon as I can. It'll probably be not till Amsterdam till I even get the thing. And, it'll be a little bit, going to look into that. You know, Sean said they can go in and just kind of shave out or, clean up some of that scar tissue. So I'm now thinking about that. I've avoided surgery this long and really wanted to, you know, don't want to go under the knife if I can avoid it, obviously, but, it's a possibility for sure right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You are put in a tough position because you got things coming up quickly and.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you can really bail out of that, I guess. I mean.
Right. I mean, you know, worst case, I can go over, get my bike and probably just do a swim biker. I mean, I guess DNF again, I don't know. I'm sure I'll at least give it a try, like I did here. And maybe I'll try and push through it a little bit more for that race, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Unknown here for sure.
Well, I like your attitude and you've been positive and we watched your video with Gabe on Instagram yesterday. Yeah. And
yeah, no, thanks.
I think you have the right perspective because I don't know. And I think maybe kids help with this because I don't know. I think if that happened to me, I would just be like, screw this podcast today. I don't want to talk about it. And but
Yeah, no, I mean,
I
you know,
think just
thank you
putting things in
everybody
perspective
that
is good.
reached out. Absolutely. You know, right? I mean, I guess too, it's like, it's not like I'm completely shut down. I mean, arguably I could still swim, bike, and run. Just can't really race to my abilities here at this point. So, life could certainly be a lot worse. And yeah, you know, there's definitely some, obviously some disappointment and, you know, kind of not obviously the way I wanted it to be, but life goes on and you know, just part of what's going on with the challenges for today here, you know. So but yeah, so that's where I'm at here. So I guess we'll wish you well here in your race here this Sunday, and then hopefully I can complete one the week after here.
Maybe
But
I
yeah,
could
we
talk
took a
you into
little.
Ironman. Maybe I could talk you into Ironman Canada now in August.
Yeah, I guess, you know, my still very glim or, you know, unlikely thoughts of doing Nice are really dwindling now here. So but you know, still would like to race, still, it'll really, age group nationals, you know, is something I want to do. Maine 70.3 still on the docket. But just got to do what's best for me today and take it one day at a time and see what happens.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing. I mean, it definitely wasn't overtraining. You've done all the preventative measures. So, I mean, there's really nothing you could look back on and be like, I wish I did this differently. So, I mean, just don't think you did anything wrong. I mean, I think this stuff just kind of happens. I mean, the longer you race, I mean, we all have little small niggles here and there, and just to kind of figure this out.
Yeah. You know, it very well could be. Maybe it's just some.
And hopefully it's not major. I mean,
Right. It's unfortunately, I can't really eliminate or say anything's off the table at this point. It's very well unknown, but I'll, you know, I'm gonna try a couple new things. Like I said, with some strength exercises. Had a client actually recommend trying some Rolfing. I'm gonna try and potentially do that sometime soon here.
and how so has this been bothering you for over a year? Like, I mean, it's all you've kind of mentioned it
I mean,
periodically for a while now.
it's been a problem since 2010. You know, it's something that comes and goes. You know, really though, back in 2013, I was ready to have surgery. You know, I was kind of, you know, scared of that for sure. Definitely seemed, especially at that point, very mixed results on going under the knife to fix it, and you know, talking to people that like never really ran again after it. So you know, didn't want to do that, but found some ways to manage it better. And a lot of it was just, yeah, I don't know. It's funny, even I've, you know, hip issues are very common for triathletes, right? And I've had clients working through it over the years. And you know, even when I talk about it sometimes, like, oh yeah, I guess it has bothered me for, you know, or been more of an issue than I'd lead on to be for a lot longer or at certain times, and I just kind of deal with it. But you know, I'm
Well, it's
also.
hard. I mean, I've been having like Achilles issues, and it's like a lot of times it's just like part of the sport, and you're just like, all right, I just got to deal with it. But when something happens like this during a race, when you're like, wow, I'm underperforming because I'm hurting right now, because I mean, it's not like
Not the
a
right kind of pain,
fitness thing,
you know? Right.
it's not a
Yeah.
good thing.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, again, yeah, in training, like, you know, as soon as it happened in the training sessions, I just shut it down, you know, walked for a little bit, and then just kind of jogged back home or whatever. And you know, I think I did a pretty good job of being smart and not just trying to push through it. But we'll see here. TBD. So,
Well, sorry to hear that. That sucks.
yeah,
That
thanks, man. I mean,
it's never
that's
fun.
it's it isn't it isn't you know, but keep living to fight another day here.
So you're gonna get your passport in time, at least?
According to the people that helped me with it, they claim it's supposed to come this week, so let's hope. But yeah, super super excited. We'll we'll probably have to have the guys from KU on for a session. We got a good handful of people. We need to, sorry, it's been a little while since the last session. We're gonna get on it here, and we definitely have a handful of people that we're ready to have on here. And but yeah, headed over to Amsterdam, like I mentioned, probably next week when we get this out, and gonna spend a couple days in Amsterdam with the KU Cycle folks, get my new bike, get it, do what they call is their aero camp for a couple days, and then do a 70.3. I think it's only like 45 minutes north of Amsterdam on that Sunday, and then head home that next day here. So wish I was staying a little bit longer, but should be a lot of fun, and gonna be an awesome experience.
Yeah, that's gonna be an awesome trip. So the race is on the 24th.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you're leaving on the
25th, sorry, 25th, right?
25th. Yep. Oh yeah, 25th.
Yeah. So I take a red eye that Wednesday night before.
Okay. Oh, so relatively quick trip.
Yeah, quicker than I'd like, but going by myself. I did try to talk the wife into coming, but she's got summer classes and the kiddos and everything, and so just me.
Is she almost done with school, or is she
one year down, one to go?
Okay.
So yeah, she's doing great.
Good.
Kids are out of school here. Three of the four are out of school, and yeah, the mayhem has begun.
All right, I'll stay away from your neck of the woods for a while then.
Oh boy. You guys are gonna have to make another trip.
Seems pretty quiet in your house right now, but you're downstairs, so exactly. Can't hear anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. So yeah, that's an update. Congrats again to you for the podium finish and that great race here. Let's keep it going this weekend here.
Thanks, man.
So all right, everybody, that's a little recap of, I'll stick with the good, the bad, the ugly here of where we're at, and hope everybody's training's going well and getting some racing in, and we will definitely catch you soon here.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.